shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful people, knowing we're privileged to gather together in your name in this late hour, Lord, with the privileges that you've extended to us, even through civil laws, where we have the right to assemble and to bring out those things which are upon our hearts, Lord, and which we believe are in consciousness of the Holy Spirit, speaking not, Lord, hopefully of ourselves, but speaking for you, Lord, as ambassadors. And we pray, Father, that our studies will be profitable, knowing that many things Brother Branham said were so contrary to thinking of the hour, so many things, Lord, with so many connotations to them, that others had not thought or believed could be possible. Again, Lord, we study today his word that he left us, your word, Father, which we believe he gave us. We pray that you'll help us to understand it and be set on our hearts and minds concerning it, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the question was, what about the white throne as of now? Brother Branham did make a statement concerning the fact of the white throne going on and we standing before it. So the question then is, what about the white throne now in this hour? Well, we are actually asking ourselves how Brother Branham could speak of the white throne judgment in the present tense as being here now and we standing before it, when according to accepted Bible chronology, it is at the end of the millennium, at least 1,000 years from now. So that's the thought with the chronology set forth 1,000 years from now. How could the white throne then be at this particular time? The proposition of the reality of his statement and our getting attuned to it depends on two things. So there are two things we consider so that we can begin to look at the question and come to grips with it and find what he was actually saying. Number one, accepting it as a categorical statement because the author was vindicated as a prophet. Now, you have to do that. You simply can't say, well, I wonder. Although we wonder about many things, the way to have faith and to keep abreast of the Word of God, which was given to us because it's marching on, is to accept it as a categorical statement. That is an absolute fundamental fact. Then number two is letting our minds go free from all previous thoughts on the subject as to its still future fulfillment and looking at the proposition as to how it fits today and as a basis for that great judgment at the end of the millennium. In other words, what is going on now, which is literally a part of what you will see in consummation, which has been called the Great White Throne, which is to be set up at the end of the millennium. Now, to begin our study, we should note that this doctrine was introduced as early as 1960 when Brother Branham preached the Seven Church Ages. And at that time, he literally placed Revelation 1, 12 to 15 with Daniel 7, 9 to 14. And thus by this placing Revelation 1, 12, 15 with Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Now what I'm saying there, and I'll read this to you, is when Brother Branham introduced Revelation 1, 12 to 15 as the judge, he immediately took it down to Daniel 7, 9 to 14, the Ancient of Days. That being the case, you would also have to take Revelation 1, 12 to 15 and place it with Revelation 20:11 to 15, which is where the white throne is set up. Now, of course, this stunned me, and I could not begin to conceive of this as being possible, except under the principle of prophetic projection, which Brother Branham would be projecting to the end of the road. Though it could also be under the true principle of multiple or compound fulfillment, as it says in Matthew 2:12 to 15. Concerning the quotation of Hosea 11 and 1, I brought my son out of Egypt. It was a reference to a past fulfillment and yet to another fulfillment, which was Jesus being taken to Egypt and then brought back. And you have in Scripture many compound meanings. In fact, Brother Branham went so far as to say, I don't think so much categorically as a basic statement that you should get used to understanding Scripture. All Scripture has double fulfillments. Or some scriptures he gave even to have three, which we'll perhaps look at one today. So what we're going to do is read where Brother Branham saw the judge in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and verses 12 to 15, and we'll go on from there. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, his white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. Now, Brother Branham was wondering about this, and he phoned his friend Jack Moore, whom he considered quite a theologian in the Pentecostal circles, and said, "Who is that?" And Jack said, "Well, that is Christ in his glorified form." And he said that did not strike an answer that was correct with him. So he sought the Lord, and the Lord revealed to him that this was a picture of a judge. And you have it today symbolized in the courts of England, and you have the judge with the long wigs on and so on. And this then was a picture of the judge. Now, Brother Branham immediately then went to Acts, the seventh chapter. I beg your pardon, Daniel, the seventh chapter. And verses 9 through 14, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down," really set up or placed in order. "The Ancient of Days did sit in his garment, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool." See, there you got the picture. You see, it's a judge. You see, this Holy Spirit doesn't tell anything but what's true. "His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands, thousands minutes unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 to before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open." And then, in the 13th verse, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, came with clouds of heaven, and came to Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom of all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, and shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed." Now, with that, we go to Revelation chapter 20, and verses 11 to 15, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." That wasn't said, you know, in Daniel. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell cast delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever not found in the book of life was cast, written, found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, we read these verses, but what we'll have to do now is go back and read Daniel 7, 9 to 14, in the light of the entire context. Rather than just pick out scripture and relate them. Because you'll notice if it's the judge in Revelation 1, 12 to 15, it'll be the same person as the judge in Daniel 7, 9 to 14. "In the first year Belshazzar, king of Babylon, David had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea." Now, you know positively that wind speaks of spirit. So that means there's going to be an actual move, a spirit move, a spirit move upon the people, because the seas are considered to be people. They type people. So coming up from the people will be a spirit. And you'll notice it says there were four winds drove. Now, this will be allowed of heaven, will be allowed of God, coming upon the earth. And you remember that Joel speaks of the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the canker worm, and it's all one life in four distinct stages. And so what you'll see here is literally four manifestations, starting with the ancient Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, coming right up to the end of time. That's why you'll notice that when we speak concerning the Roman Catholic Church and it's a power which is in all the earth. It's in Russia, it's everywhere. People don't kid yourself that it's not everywhere, it is. It's that beast that was wounded unto death but came back again, not in an empire which would be simply political, strategically military to take over, but would be like the Hitler's Fifth Column. And the column in with Spain, you know, we talk about that. In other words, it's more subversive. And the four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. In other words, it'll be the same life. It'll be a spirit controlling it for manifestation. Now notice, the first was like a lion and had eagle wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. Now, you know that's Nebuchadnezzar. Absolutely. Okay. You'll notice then we begin typing and seeing that these are going to be dominions that are headed up by men who are able to form them and to mold them into what they want them to be. Number five, behold another beast, like a second like to a bear, raised up on its side, had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. In other words, take even further dominion and authority over the world. Now watch the thing begin to spread. Because from the beginning, you will notice it starts in an isolated area and begins moving and moving until it covers the whole world. All right, number six. And I beheld after this, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given it. And I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast. That's the last one. Dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue at the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. All right, you can see then that's a greater empire still. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now you're getting like the same picture back in the beginning, given a heart of a man. You got the association to a man again, a man having this great power, even though it's worldwide. You can tell that there's no one person could possibly run the whole world from a strictly military political viewpoint. Then he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, actually placed or set up. And the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, you'll notice he saw through all of these great empires. Finally, there came a time when the throne of man would be abdicated and the throne would be taken over by God eventually. But notice it's not a throne of takeover here. It said the thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days sit in the garment of white as snow. The hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame and his wheels was burning fire. And what is it? It's a throne of actually power and judgment. It's actually the judge's seat. He's a judge. The fiery stream issued came forth before him, thousands entered in him, 10,000 times 1,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. So you can see that this one now, God himself, is superseding all of these men. And remember, the last man up here in the last age was literally in full control. And you'll see that in the book of Revelation. Now, the one, God himself, begins to take over control. And then you notice in here, continuing, that's like a little interpolation in there. I saw this going on until. Now, we could say here, up back to the 8th verse again, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And then you jump down to 11. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. That's the Antichrist. That's where you go back to the book of Revelation again. That was an interpolation. That's how long it's going to be. It's going to be for a judgment and a throne set. Now you understand what we're saying. You're not looking at 1,000 years down the road. So you got to get your minds disabused. You're looking for something to take place which is not 1,000 years down the road, but supersedes the Roman Empire, which is now a Holy Roman Empire, which is based upon the authority coming out of Rome. It does not come out of Italy. If anyone this morning is sitting here, hearing my voice anywhere, hear it on tape, and you think it's coming out of Italy, you are wrong. It is coming out of Rome. Because Rome has bluffed Italy plumb off the map. That was seen in the big banker over there that took so much money from the Italians and everybody else, and it's none but a Roman captive, crooked, fraudulent, screened the same as the Platantine elders or brothers are down here in Philadelphia, and it came time to expose them. They gypped the public out of $4 million, and this great Pope president, he's a great man already, he shut the whole thing up. So where's the $4 million? It's coming out of Rome. It's not coming out of Italy. See? Always it's been Rome, not Italy. The city set upon seven hills or seven mountains in there. See? Now, concerning the rest of the beast, they have their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. In other words, it's going back now showing you that they lost out. The Greeks lost out to the Babylonians lost out to the Medo-Persians, the Medo-Persians to the Greeks, and the Greeks to Rome. It took a while before this all took place. But now, at this time, there is nobody left but the Roman Empire. It's never been called Italian. Based upon Romulus and Remus. Right down the line. They all went to Rome. It's just like you have the whole thing epitomized with Israel. It's always in Jerusalem. It's no place else. Now, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages to serve him, and his dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Now, you notice that it is not necessary to believe that verses 13 and 14 are literally 9 and 10. Not literally. Because one can predate the other. And we'll go into 1 Corinthians 15, and you can see the great possibility of what I'm talking of. The machinery is set up. Absolutely for Christ, Jesus, to come back on this earth in a glorified form and reign in the millennium. And I, Dan, was grieved in spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head told me. And I came near unto the one that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. And he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. Dictators, anything else you want to call them, showing supreme authority, because that's what a king is. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever. So it takes you right up to the time of the resurrection and the rapture and the descent of the saints with Christ in Revelation chapter 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others. He was different, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and nails of brass, devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. In other words, utter conquest. No giving. Now, if you think that you'd like to be in the great tribulation, that's all right. But you better watch it. And of the 10 horns that came between, that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now this, in other words, we ought to ask you a question. When did persecution start against the saints of God? Under Rome. To the bride. To the church. That's where it's always been. And it became a church unto itself. I beheld the same horn made war, and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. All right, now the Ancient of Days has to come. We don't get a stand until the one brought near to him, and we with him, to come back and take over. As time to possess. So before the saints take over the kingdom, you understand there is some kind of a judgment. Well, look at your books. This is where Brother Branham got it. See, we've been too back in Pentecost and Methodist, Baptist, and every ungodly doctrine which came out of Rome, the whole stinking mess. So we simply parroted everything everybody ever said. And we didn't bother thinking the thing out. When the students tried to think things out, they found they couldn't do it because there's no man living ever figured this out. Whoever believed there's 3.5 years tribulation instead of 7, everybody's got it down to 7. It's only 3.5. See? I wouldn't believe that except the prophet said so and I found it in the Bible. Now, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Now, beast is a power. And remember, it came up out of the people. So there's something in the people that want this. Sit here this morning and think it over. What you want is what you get out of this pulpit. Not what you caterwaul about and everything else, and you got some little lie, some little thing, but what you really want. A spirit can rise out of you the same as a spirit can come out of me. The spirit of the preacher, pastor gets on the people, but believe me, it had better be a good kind of a spirit getting on you. And you better have a good kind of a spirit for something to come out. That's why, exactly, I don't care whether we're believer, make believer, or unbeliever, we had better get a real anointing of God upon us, the genuine spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that lovely nature come into our church and the people get healed, my brother and my sister. See? Now, you're fine people. We've got to go further. We're a long way to go yet. Now, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given in his hand until the time and times and dividing of times. Now you see right there is your 3.5 years coming up, great tribulation. What all that's into, I don't know. But notice, the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy unto the end. And the kingdom, dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given the people of saints, the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now you can see right here that this whole chapter deals with judgments. You're dealing with judgments poured upon judgments. So therefore, from the time of the appearing, in 1933, when the judge came down and was fully manifested to be the judge, through the vindicated revealed word in 1963, judgment, 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 judgment. Who came down as the judge? Right there. Jehovah judge came down as the judge. See? And that's going to take us plumb into the millennium, which is a period of time. And there is still no difference. It'll come right at the end of the millennium, at the second or general resurrection, and go right into what has already started. And it doesn't call it all kinds of names. Now, you wait. There's some very, very peculiar things coming out. Thank you, Brother Ben. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Now, I said, this is the whole thing in a nutshell. Judgment. And you know who the judge is, the Ancient of Days. All right. We're going to look now at Revelation, the 20th chapter again. And just 11 to 15. I saw a great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, it doesn't say back there the heaven and earth fled away. But are you going to tell me it's another throne? Or is it the same throne under a different condition? See, that's what you got to look at. Now, without reading further, because I'm going to read the whole thing in a context, we're going to go to Revelation 19:11-15. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. What's he doing? He's judging. And from the consequential judgment comes war. There's nothing to do but to fight and take it over. He said, these rascals, you're not going to do a thing with them. They blaspheme the God of heaven. And they're very churchy too, by the way. Because the big shot is claiming he's the real vicar of Christ. He's God's man on earth. Anti means instead of, not against. It's anti-Christ spirit. All churches have them. But it's got to come to fruition. His eyes were a flame of fire. It's the same one over there in Revelation 1. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So therefore, whoever the Word of God is evidently the judge and the warrior. And it's time to execute the judgment, which has already been passed. But seeing there's been no repentance, because there can be no repentance from Hebrews 6, they've got to die. That's why nobody's here on the earth in the millennium. People have some kind of idea. That's what their fundamental teach. Why they say Matthew 25 is the judgment of nations, where everybody nice to the Jews is going to get in, and those not nice to the Jews will be kicked out. Hogwash. Couldn't leave neither root nor branch. We're going to walk on our souls are going to walk on the ashes of the wicked. Okay, let's keep reading. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. That's a bride. Angels don't have that. White and clean. The last cleaning you get is in Revelation 22 after the seals are open. Washing of water by the word. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That's the word of God. With it he shall smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's breaking in sunder. You say, you thought the others could rule with a rod of iron, break in sunder, and bring to nothing. You wait till this one comes in. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right? Oh, see now. We could read more. And I saw an angel stand in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls of fine midst heaven, come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God. Not the wedding supper. That's taking place. This is the supper of the great God. You meet the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, them sitting, the flesh of all men, free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth, and the armies gathered to make war against him that sat in the horse and against his army. The beast was taken with the false prophet, wrought miracles with him, which had deceived them, but received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Was worshipped in the church system. And they were both cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The men were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. While that could be figurative, but you can see the complete destruction. Now, well, we'll keep reading. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. He should deceive the nations no more. See, that's a judgment. That's what he put in prison. Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he should be loosed a little season. Of course, when he's put in there, he's bound by chains of circumstance because he couldn't do anything amongst the people that are truly glorified. I saw thrones and they sat upon them, judging given them. And I saw the souls of them were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now there's judgment right there. So what judgment given? The rest of the dead live not again 1,000 years. That's the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he had part in the first resurrection. Second death has no power. They would be priests and kings of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are loose, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together for battle, numbering the sand of the sea. And of course, a big fight ensues. What happens? The devil is bound. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who can let Satan out of his prison? Who has the authority? Only a judge. If anybody acts apart from a judge, he's in trouble. Though America's no example of anything anymore. You can do anything without a judge anymore. She's got enough money. Buy the judge and the whole country, pick a nation. It's gone. You don't fool with this one. 1,000 years, the judge said, sit there. After 1,000 years, the judge brings about a resurrection. The second resurrection. He says it's time. This fella gets let out. See? Now, and I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things, written in the book of books, written in the books according to their works. Another judgment. The same one. And the sea gave up the dead. And death and hell did up the dead which were in, and they were judged. Every man according to his works. And death and hell, according to judgment, were cast on the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever not found written in the book, that's a judgment, was cast on the lake of fire. So, you've got a perennial picture here, continuation of a judge and the judging. And he doesn't cease. In other words, you see a dominant role. Now then, Revelation 1:12-15. Way back when the seals were open, I was under Brother Branham's ministry listening. Seemed very far-fetched to me, and I know others also, because my understanding of eschatology, prophetic scripture fulfillment, and biblical chronology in no way ever envisioned any advent of judge or any necessity even for the advent of a judge before the second resurrection, unless you would include the Bema, which is in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and spoken of in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. So let's take a look at it. 5:9-10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, the word accepted is not accepted in the sense whether he's going to boot you in or boot you out. It means whether you're pleasing to him. So that means something's got to happen as a criterion down the road which lets us know which side we fall on. Are we pleasing or aren't we? Do we meet the standards? Watch. For we must all appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Judgment. There again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we'll read 11-15. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Now notice, the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can liken this to the whole church, or you can liken this to the individual, because they both work in the same manner. Now, notice the foundation, but watch what you can build upon it. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Every man's work should be made manifest. Now, what is the gold of the end time? I cause you to buy me gold tried in the fire. Proven vindication, for the day of the Lord shall declare it. For the day shall declare, what day? The day of judgment. Because it shall be revealed by fire. Now you're going to have two fires. You're going to have the fire that comes down in the tribulation at the end of it. And you're going to have a fire which is going to burn out all the dross in the individual's life, the purging. And this is not purgatory as many Catholics try to make it. There's no such thing as purgatory. No way, shape, and form. Purgatory is a place where you're put in for a while and somebody's going to try to get you out. Believe me, if you get there, ain't nobody going to get you out. Because you shouldn't be there in the first place. It's a pagan doctrine. Hasn't got one bit of... Jesus never spoke one word of it. No man ever did. And the fire will try every man's work what sort it is. Now remember, the scripture distinctly says at the end time, John preaching of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. So you can see there's two purging going on. There's a purging of the people, a purifying. And there's a purging of the world to bring a purified people back. So you know something? Every one of us that dies purged by the fact of death, because the body is dead because of sin. We pay the price. But there'll be a people here who won't die. They'll pay a different price. And the price they will pay is the eternal vigilance of repentance by bringing their thoughts under control, not deviating from what the prophet brought us. That's one of the big prices you'll pay. There's others, no doubt, too. If any man's work which he had abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost? Telling you what you're looking at here is a life that's supposed to be entirely and thoroughly sanctified. Now, that's the only judgment we ever had any inkling of. We did not really understand the rest. But the scripture is there to substantiate the judge of Revelation 1, 12 to 15, as Brother Branham taught it, though we actually never saw it, because our minds were fixed on the white throne and the lake of fire after the millennium. Now, just turn with me to the book of James, the 5th chapter. We read verses 1 to 11. Go now to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is canker, and the rest of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is, you have kept back by fraud, cry. And the cries of them which you reaped are entered the ears of the Lord of the harvest. You have lived in pleasure and on earth, and been wanton. You squandered everything. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. That's true. You watch. When things get really rough like it is, like when we had depression. You know, during depression, it is my personal estimation from what I saw that promiscuous sexual actions were far greater than the day when people had jobs. And then after the jobs got back and the war and all things, you'll find it even took a higher trend because people had all kinds of money. But you're just always when you see a harvest time, when you see something like a turn, you'll notice how things begin to accelerate. You can tell right now something dreadful is going on in the earth because of the AIDS plague, which brought in by homosexuality. That's exactly where it came from, and I don't care what the doctors tell you. There's a few honest doctors and few honest politicians, and most of the rest of them are liars. Johnson and Masters may not be as far wrong as people try to make them. Let's understand that. The AIDS virus can be in your blood for 11 solid years, at least that much now they found out before it appears. How many are carriers even in this hour in this church, we don't know. I don't see anybody's doing it, carrying anything, but I'm just letting you know, plump and plain, hey, don't kid yourselves for God's sake. Don't be fools, especially young people. You think because you got a strong power in your flesh, you can do what you want. You do what you want. You'll die with it. You'll die with it. They're not going to cure you. They get you over the hump this time, something worse will come upon you. It's never failed yet. See? You keep your virginity, your virtue before God. It'll pay you. You might think you're losing something by not getting in the flesh pots. Sure, you're losing one thing. You're losing crime. Nobody wants that. You're losing death. Nobody wants that. You're losing sickness. Nobody wants that. Says here, you've lived in pressure and so on. You condemned and killed the just, and he doth not receive. Now listen, watch. In verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now he's talking to those whose consolation is in Christ, the first resurrection, the rapture, and the millennium. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. At that time. What time is that? Well, everybody knows it. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, in verse 20. All right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. There's who is coming in? The judge is coming in. Everybody has a picture of the good shepherd. I got news for you. It is not the good shepherd. It is the judge. And the judge will make the difference. Yet people say, many people say, so he's here. So what? And I say, then who is here? The judge is here. You can hardly get a preacher in this message, so-called, to preach the judge. I'll ask you a question, why not? Those that say they do preach it, why aren't they preaching it harder? I'm not trying to set up a standard. I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the prophet. We're not here playing little games. I don't know what this is all going to do. I'm telling you the truth is in the word of Almighty God by vindicated prophet. This is the truth. It is the judge that stands at the door. Sure, he's the chief shepherd. Certainly, he's Jehovah God. But he's judge. That's what started on June the 11th, 1933, and was brought into consummation in 63, 1 foot upon land and one upon sea. When he came down, coming more and more into the church, until he came into the church, and now the decision is there, who receives the judge? Nobody wants the judge. You know why? They don't want to be judged. Well, bless God, our church has got this. This church here ain't got nothing and never will have anything unless it's got the real, true Christ and the word of that Christ. Absolutely. Stand on no heretical dogmas and creeds. We see here then a role change. We see a role change. The role change is God not on the throne anymore, but God coming as judge and setting up his own throne of judgment. At this time, his thrones have been in our heart for rulership. We're looking forward to it. But there is a judgment that started and is taking place even now by the revealed word of Almighty God, because the Bible says he will judge the world by one Christ Jesus, and as Brother Branham said, he is the word. We're looking at that this very morning. Now, with this in mind, there can be no doubt that Revelation 20, 11, and 12 is found in and actually started in Revelation 1, 12 to 15, because that's the truth. At the end of the seven church ages, he steps forth categorically as the judge. He was all along. But it was a subdominant role. Now it becomes the dominant role. And is also Revelation 4, 1 to 3. Now let's take a look at that. You only got one God, brother, sister. You haven't got 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. After this I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, I'll show thee things that must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. And he was to look upon like a jasper sardine stone, a rainbow round about the throne, the set like an emerald. And the 24 elders were round there. All right, fifth chapter. I saw in the right hand him that sat in the throne a book written within, and with the backside sealed 7 seals. Something he's looking at now. And a strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, and no man in earth, and no man on the earth, there's no man, period, able to open the book and look at it. And have to take a man to do it. And I wept much, had to do with man. And no man was found worthy. He could look upon it, could even read it. One of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who hath prevailed, open the book and loose the 7 seals, which he consequently did. And therefore, categorically, Revelation 10, 1 to 6 is the same person. I want to stand up a while. The chairs are too tough. It's okay by me if you do. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and his face as were the sun, and feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Well, that's the one on the throne with the book. He came down here now. And who is he? He is judge. And his judge, what's he do? He raises his hand to heaven and he swears that time is no longer. It's blended with eternity. It's run out. What's run out? The fourth kingdom is running out. That's what you're looking at. The whole thing now, we're soon going to take the world over. Not as Pat Robertson. He blew it when he went against Brother Branham. And in 1984, he got a voice like Joe Coleman did. Brother Branham was supposed to be silent for 21 years. Nobody heard from God for 21 years, according to Coleman. Now he's a Archangel Michael. Hogwash he is. And neither is Pat Robertson going to take us into the millennium. He can't even get in the president's office. Ha! Few talk about man's folly being exposed. Why don't they just sit back and wait for God to show them things? See? So categorically, this one here is the same judge. Now, do not be confused here, for we're dealing mainly with Jehovah in the dominant role of judge, and not so much with the element of time and chronology. Now, on page 35, future home. Now, or after time has been fulfilled, all sin is gone. Taken away at the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, a type of the Holy Ghost. After the world is on fire and baptized, is baptism a holy fire from heaven, all sin is gone, all germs gone, all devils gone, all temptations, everything's gone. In other words, what he's saying here, at the end of the millennium, the second resurrection, general resurrection, will come about, and there will still be that. But it's already started. See? Now, let me read here too. All right, I'll come again. Jesus says, now is king with his queen. The second 2,000 years, what does he do? See, 1,000 gone by, another millennium coming up. He comes and gives his rest period, then burns her off and cleans it for his own, puts his own back on it. Now, this is the future home we're talking about, coming back to earth again, the second time, when it's redone. And notice, not the perfect world. This millennium is a type of the seventh day. Then comes the white throne judgment. See, we still have judgment. We're still in the time of the millennium. So he lets you know that long as time is going on, what starts there in judgment continues with the judge. Yep. And only at the end of that period does the Father disincarnate himself from the Son, still remaining judge. He goes up above the throne where the Lamb is as a pillar of fire. Now try to just roll with the punches on these things if you don't quite get them. Right, you can recognize from this fact of Revelation 10 and 6, that's the one that raised his arm, and Revelation 10 and 4, that's the one who said there, told to seal up the seven seals, and you compare that with Revelation 22 and 4, which we have done many times. The book is unsealed, Revelation 22 and 10, I mean. He said, seal not the same prophecy's book. And when he comes down, he said, all right, close the book. He opens the book. And notice the result of the two. Now, first of all, I want to get the picture because I know I've lost you. We're talking about Revelation 10 and 6. That's the one that said, time should be no more. The one that raised his hand and swore. That's the judge that came down, Revelation 10 and 1. All right, Revelation 10 and 4 said, that same one says, the seal up the book. Now, the same one that sealed the book up comes back to earth here, puts his foot on land and sea, unseals the book in Revelation 22 and 10. And the result of that is coming into, let's read Revelation 22, beginning of the fifth verse. And there shall be no night there, there shall be no candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things that must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy's book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had seen, heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am the fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, one of the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he that is unjust still. And he that is holy, filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Holy, holy still. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work should be. Now, you know, at this particular time, when the seals were open, it was the judge that came down, and he tells you now that he's going to give rewards according as the work shall be. And the holy will be holy, and the righteous will be righteous, the filthy, filthy, and so on. So you can see in here the elements of what they call the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema, where you get rewards for what you have done, which are in the Word of God. What other is crossed out? The others will forfeit with their life. But the picture I'm trying to show you is judgment has already started. Behold, I come quickly. Now, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Behold, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, men that sit to the city may enter into the city, may enter in through the gates into the city. For without her dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, Revelation 22 and 15, I wanted to get to you. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves to make a lie. Okay. Revelation 21, 1 to 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, any pain. The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I'll give unto him that's the thirst of the fountain of the water life freely. The same thing he said in 22nd chapter. And he, now watch, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, did you notice that verse 8 is the same as verse 15, for all intents and purposes? So outside the holy city, what have you got? The lake of fire, which will destroy these. Now, what have you got today with the opening of the seals? The same thing. 22 and 15. Now, if that's not white throne, you tell me what it is. That's not judgment. The judgment is sealed up. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. When those books that were sealed were opened, the judgments were sealed to this earth. Now, notice this. I said in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 8, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, dollars, all liars, the part of the lake of fire. It's already lined up. The judgment has been pronounced. We'll get to another scripture, show you that in just a minute. All right. Now, I won't take and read Matthew 12. But Matthew 12 refers to the time when God returns to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire and does the works that he did back in Palestine. At that time, to utter one word against the Holy Ghost is blasphemy, which can never, ever be forgiven. Also, Hebrews 6, where they turn down the word, they can never be forgiven. Now listen to me. Paul was a blasphemer. Let us sink in. He says he was a blasphemer. I think in the book of Timothy. And he ain't going to no lake of fire. So there's only one time you can really blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and that's today. And no, and any man that does is already at the white throne. Because it is going on now, not just in a figure of speech, but it is actually started to the intent. It will wind up at a certain time, in a certain place, under a certain condition. Today, it is a certain time, a certain place, and a certain condition. And everything in the Word of God is a certain time, and a certain place, and a certain condition. And it's going on now. Otherwise, I don't know why Brother Branham said it was. We know it was. All right. So to me, there is no doubt that Revelation 20 and 15. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. Is categorically Malachi. That's the little book of the Bible. 4:1. For behold, the day cometh, thou shalt burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, that do wickedly, all that are wicked, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and leaving them neither root nor branch. Now you know, the only place that could possibly happen would be in the lake of fire at the final judgment.
And Brother Branham used that very scripture and said, now, you try to show me there's an eternal hell. Now, what's going on now? Judgment, designation, assignation. It's been designated and been assigned. But as the world was kept to be judged, so souls in prison are kept to be judged. In the sense of the assignation, they're already judged. It is the hour of Malachi 4, which we just looked at. 2 and 3. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. That's Revelation 22, 10 to 14. Immortality. And you shall tread down the wicked. They'll be asking the soles of your feet. That's Revelation 19. What's verse 11 on down, 14, whatever it is. All right. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. That's God sending the prophet. Guarantees. Malachi 4, 2, and 3. Which we know to be our escape. And it is spoken of in Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 to 23. The middle of the verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus the Christ, which was appointed by preaching unto you. This Jesus Christ, they're supposed to come after the presence was made known. The heavens must retain him until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. What is the restoration? I will restore what the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer, and the cankerworm all destroyed. God is going to bring back a Garden of Eden condition whereby man can go beyond Eden. Because placed in Eden was not an end in itself. The end of Eden was immortality, lest they take of the tree and live forever, which they could have done. So now you're going to be restored to be able to get to that tree, which is what we saw in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Now it said, for Moses said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things what you say unto you. And it shall come to pass every soul that not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. Well, why would a prophet do it? Unless he's a judge. So what do you see at the end time? You see, invariably, the reference is always to the judge. And the judge always has a judgment seat. It isn't three or four different kinds. You simply call it what you want to call it according to the conditions or the time so you can illustrate and focus your understanding a little clearly. But as far as I can see, when that Ancient of Days begins moving, which is right there, it's set up. And you're just going to keep moving and moving. Then there'll be a little bit of coming back during the millennium. But the judge will be watching plumb out there for the lake of, in the pit. And watching for the resurrection, watching what's going on in that world where they're down there in the nether lands, the lower earth and all. Can be watching. The strong and mighty angels of God in charge of everything. And the day comes to say, I'm the judge, open up. He's not going to stop it. That's why he could go down there and bring out the living righteous. Sure, there's no two ways about that one. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Notice he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, already confined there by a judge, the judgment, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, where, while the ark was in the preparing, when a few, that's 8 souls were saved by water. Now, with that, there's 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 4-7, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, you know what I think that is. I don't think that's looking for the promise of coming. I think I understand that to be, hey, what is all this about his presence? What's going on? What's it doing for us? Where are we going to get out of here? Now, if I'm telling the truth, which I believe I am giving you the right slant on this, I feel pretty sorry for these pulpits. And I can start naming some right now that sneer at what we understand here and say they believe it, but they don't preach it. They're too busy rolling the people's money, I guess. Where's the promise? For since the Father's fellowship, all things continues, or even the beginning of creation. Now, what do we know anything about the beginning of creation? Nothing. Except human history. And that doesn't go back very far. So all they can say here, everything is just going on the way we've known it, either by God having made a creation, the devil messed it up, or the whole thing has been buzzing around here merely by the matter of evolution. And this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that was in what then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and earth, now listen, they know by the type here, this verse 7, the heavens and earth which now are, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. In plain English, we're standing here because God's not ready to hit the earth with fire. That's all. He's not ready to do it. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah is not completely filled. The cup of the Canaanites isn't overflowing. But beloved, he said, now get this in your skulls and don't be ignorant. You're trying to push things. God's a very slow mover. It takes 1,000 years for just one day. He hasn't slack concerning his promise. Some men count slack, but is long suffering westward. Not willing any should perish, but all should come repentance. In other words, the last message is repentance. The last one brought in and child trained is when God can begin to do what we're wanting him to do. All right. With this, we want to go to Timothy. 1 Timothy. The 5th chapter, 24-25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some men are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. The verse I was looking at, repeat again, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. In other words, you can settle this outside of court. You can settle outside of a judgment, have a judgment in your favor at this particular time. Otherwise, they're going to catch up with you, and it's going to be a pretty rough time. Now, that's Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, with this, we want to go to John. I'm skipping around here because I want to work as much as I can in. I'm sorry I'm going over time. John 11:23-26. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he did, yet shall live. Don't have to worry about the last day. Whoso shall live and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? All right, back to John 5. Reading up in 19 verse, he said, the Son can do nothing himself, but he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these doeth also the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, show him those things he doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, so you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickens him, he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And that's exactly right. The whole decision of God depends on what you do with Jesus. Depends exactly what you do today with the pillar of fire having come down, because that is, again, God in sonship form to us. Because it's the hour of the Son. That all men honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father. Send him. In other words, if you don't honor this, you say you honor the Son that's sitting upon the throne. Now you're wrong. You don't honor him at all. He that hath the Father hath the Son. You don't have this, you don't have the Son. You got to make up your mind which way the Bible's going, not the way you're going. Which way the Bible's going, then try to catch up with it. See? Verily said he that heareth my word and believeth him and sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass into the light. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead should hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He said, you're hearing it already. And it's going to come forth in the first half of the first resurrection, which he did shortly after this passage. For as the Father had life in himself, he had given to the Son to have life in himself. That's right, he did. And to give him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of condemnation. Sure. There's the first resurrection, second half coming up right away. I can mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Now there you are. What if God spoke again today in the form of the Holy Ghost as a gift of the Son once more, because he's got to be crucified to the people themselves? And he comes on the scene and he speaks. Then what then? The world's judged. Now I ask you a question. Is the white throne going on, or isn't it going on? See? Don't get the idea way down the road now. It started. It's going on. Now, especially 19 and 20, it says in John 5, which I didn't read, I start up there about verse 29. I'll start, 29 is good, it's best place. And he answered, this is the work of God that, not just 6th chapter, I'm going to get back to the 19th. Here we are. Jesus answered and said, verily send to you, the Son of Man can nothing himself, but he seeth the Father do whatsoever things he doeth, these doeth also the Son likewise. For the Father shows the Son, loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Right, we're looking at the fact here of what he said, and with it, we go to John 14, 10 to 12. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and Father in me? The words that I speak, I speak not of myself, but the Father loveth, dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father in me, or else believe with very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do, he do, because they go to my Father. That is in the personal, singular, and devolves upon one man, which Brother Branham was the one person who could arrogate unto himself properly by Scripture, God giving him that revelation of this hour, which is absolutely the one of judgment. Now, we saw in Matthew 12, we saw the fact that he's got to come back here. We saw in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that he has to come back. The Lord himself shall descend with the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And we see in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the ministry that he is doing right now to bring the church in subjection and the world into judgment. Categorically, at the presence of God, which we all know to be. In verses 20, 21, 22, 23, afterward Christ said, he's appearing. That's his presence. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the king of the Father. That's a future perfect tense showing that something is already spoken of as though it has taken place. In other words, it's an absolute committal and a commitment to the future on the basis of the present. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. In other words, God himself taking headship of the church. And you notice it says in 27, for all things must be under him, put under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest, it is made known clear, that he has left out which did put all things under him. So God, somebody's putting something under somebody else. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And this is that chrusma, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's what you're looking at right now. God already has brought his church into judgment, and the test has been passed. You are the pure and righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. So you can see that right now judgment is going on, and judgment will be going on, and judgment will continue until the complete finalization, and that one right there that came down is the same one that is going to be on the great white throne. There isn't any difference. It's a matter of time. God's not more than one God. It's just what God is doing in this hour. It's the time and eternity have blended, and it's moving on. And you can see that our white throne is here now, and we have it made. There's no problems. We're not going to lose out. White throne is here for the make-believer, the unbeliever, because there is no change in the judging word. No difference. This word's not going to change. There's just a final disposition at a certain time, according to Revelation 20 and 12, and they were already judged. Their records were opened. That's all. Now, you know my stand on Revelation 22, 18 to 19, which I have categorically taken. And that is this. I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophet's book, if any man shall add unto these things, God will add him the plagues that are written in the book. If he take away in the words of the prophecy book, God will take away his part of the book of life, and of the holy city, and the things written therein. And that has to do with the opening of the seven seals. Now, my stand, the reason I bring it out is this. I say what Brother Branham said. He said, we're standing before the white throne now. Now, let me read again what you read a while ago, and we're going to close. And I had to hustle because I didn't have the time. All right. Now, as the king with his queen, and the second 2,000 years, what does he do? He comes and gives his rest period, then burns her off and claims it for his own, puts his own back on it. And notice, not the perfect world. This millennium is a type of the 7 day. Then comes the white throne judgment. See, we still have judgment. We're still in the time of the millennium. It's 1 day, 1,000 years. It's a time element. Don't get mixed up, he said, with the new earth now. You see what he's saying? It's a time element. You're looking at reality, but it's a time element. Now, watch again. After time has been fulfilled, all sin is gone, taken away at the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, a type of the Holy Ghost. Now let that sink in. If the white throne judgment is a type of the Holy Ghost, where everything is absolutely gone, there will be nothing left but the purity of Almighty God Himself, the Holy Ghost. And remember now, he says, that white throne is typing the Holy Ghost. Then what if the Holy Ghost came now? Now reverse it. I know you're looking puzzled, but let your thinking go. You're not babies anymore. Let your thinking go. Are you back in your old types of tradition? He said, white throne judgment, type of the Holy Ghost. Now, if the Holy Ghost himself came, the white throne type, then him coming, you're at the white throne right now. Try to just let your thinking go. People will hear what Brother Branham said. They're not going to believe it. And I'll read you when we get to the future home, where you better understand to be a believer. You don't sit here and say, well, I believe and don't understand. Now, this is the key we were looking for all along. His little quote of Brother Branham's here. I don't accept God brought me to it. I wouldn't have got it. But I'd underlined it before. All sin is gone. Taken away at the end of the millennium. At the great white throne judgment. Complete purification, complete purging. That, what you're looking at, typing, the Holy Ghost himself, everything falling in type. Now, what if the Holy Ghost himself appears in the scene? Where are you at? So, Brother Bill, what does it do for me? It takes away your unrest and your worry. You don't have to look down the road. So that's the people who are always looking down the road. Even got the nerve to look 1,000 years down the road. Why are we looking 1,000 years down the road? See, if the king is here, the queen is here, the throne is here, the kingdom is here, in a complete potential. If the judge is here, tell me, what's his position in the literal? What's he doing? He's on his throne of judgment, judging. He's knocking at the door and say, listen, you've got your chance right now. So when Brother Branham said, don't go looking down the road. He said, we're standing before that throne right now. So that sure changed my theology around. It's going to change mine a whole lot more than it's already done. It keeps changing. But I believe what the prophets say. And I believe always you'll find in the Word of God those little places in there that nobody could ever get outside of a prophet. And he told us the truth, brother, sister. Hard to understand in a certain way because we are so finite. But if we just let our thinking go, we'll begin to see time and eternity. All these things blended together and see the fortunate position we are now in, because the results are in. The assignation. See, the judgment has taken place. The assignation is right at hand. What is that assignation? The dead come out of the ground. We're going to get her changed, and we're going to be gone. Come back and rule and reign 1,000 years and sit with him. That's what he said. I believe with all my heart, and it'll do us good because the word of the prophet is a good word. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your kindness that you bestowed upon us. In this last day, Lord, we can hear so many things the prophet said, and always we'll find out how he said them and why he said them. We'll see them in your word, Lord. And we realize now, Father, that perhaps as never before, and I believe as never before, we can see the wind-up. It's really winding up. We can put all these things together, Father. Well, I know it's not perfect, Lord. There's lots of things in my mind that aren't settled as I want to settle, and they may never be settled. But I've taken the word of the prophet that we're standing before your throne right now, seeing the beautiful type and all that you laid before us. Help your people, Lord, at this time to come into a place of rest, and not just a place of rest, Lord, which is a good feeling and a good spirit in our lives where we know that we can count on you, but Lord, we believe it transcends even that. It goes past the feeling. It goes to the place, Lord, where we see the utmost of the work of God has been done now in our hearts, minds, and lives, if we only receive it, to bring forth a fruit that this world has never known. And that is the fruit in your presence, Lord, where many standing here shall not taste of death, but shall enter into the glory land absolutely in the same glory that you went away in. And coming back to receive us. Father, forgive us our sins this morning, that there not be one sinner amongst us this morning, Lord, not one who hasn't repented and wants to go all the way with you in your word, Lord. Grant, Lord, that sick amongst us be healed, Father. We're looking for that. We're trusting, O God, that what we talk about in this church shall be more and more reality of a love and an understanding and a helpfulness in all ways, shapes, and forms, O God. Putting others above ourselves, Lord, until your sweet spirit does the work that we want to be done. Now, Father God, just keep us as we go our separate ways and bring us back again on the Saturday service and the Sunday service, Lord. And may it be a blessed time in thee, Father, but may the days in between be ones that are hallowed by your presence, Lord, and sanctified by your grace and your mercy, O God. And we are sanctified people walking in the hours that you've given us to live in. Help us to number our days, O God, and thereby present ourselves before you in that day, knowing that our lives are not full of wood, hay, and stubble. But rather, O God, there have been some gold and silver and some precious stones in every single life here. We ask these mercies for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Amen.